So glad you could join me for a cup of coffee and a chat. Once again, I have averted, just barely, another kitchen disaster. I admit, I was raised in a time and place where processed, prepared, frozen, and canned food was my mother's first choice for food prep. Unfortunately, neither she nor my grandmother, who lived two houses up the street and should have been close enough to help, was particularly good at old-fashioned home cooking. So I was in my third or fourth decade before I became friends with any kitchen appliance that was not a microwave. Since then, I've tried, really tried, to cook and bake my way through any number of cookbooks, mostly with moderate success, sometimes with disastrous results, and, glory be, an occasional amazing dish. I recently avoided disaster. Thank goodness. It was a Saturday. We have homemade pizza every Saturday or every other Saturday. So I stirred yeast into some water, let it sit, added flour and salt. After kneading for a bit, I covered the bowl to let it rise. Then, life got in the way. Not pizza night tonight. The answer, shove the dough in the fridge and make it on Sunday. Come Sunday, it just didn't feel like pizza night either. So I pulled out a plastic container, dumped the dough into it, covered it, and everything got chucked into the freezer. The following Tuesday seemed like a good time to try again. Out on the counter with the dough to thaw for supper. And those little yeasties had way more life in them than I thought. The dough swelled up and popped the top right off the container. Back in the fridge. By Wednesday night, I was worried that the little ball of pizza dough was destined for the compost bin. But wait, there is an alternative. Flatbread. Or, if we're lucky, pita. Bright and early Thursday morning, when the kitchen was still cool, was the perfect time to do a little baking. Out came the dough ball. I heated the oven to 450 degrees, tossed a pizza stone on the upper shelf. Good thing we had a low of 43 degrees last night, since the stone has to preheat for about 45 minutes. The key to flatbread is to roll it out thin and bake it on a hot stone. The key to pita pockets, our hoped-for result, is to roll them out really thin, bake them on a really hot stone, and keep your fingers crossed that they actually puff all the way up. Now that part is necessary, you know. Not too long ago, I bought one of those French rolling pins that's thicker in the middle than on the ends, and it's perfect for this kind of project. Light, easy to handle, and gives you so much control to roll the center or the edges to the perfect thickness. I love picking up the dough, laying it across my hands and my spread fingers, and then turning my hand over and slapping it on the stone. One and done. Let it bake 4 to 5 minutes, checking once to make sure the bread is puffing like a balloon. Actually, there's nothing you can do about it at this point if it isn't, so just relax. It is what it is. When you take the bread out of the oven, put it on a folded kitchen towel to cool. If you're doing more than one, repeat and put the second one next to the first on the towel, not on top of it. Once you're done baking and those cute little puffy pitas are cool, serve yourself lunch or supper. Cut that pita pocket in half, push open the layers, and fill with whatever you have on hand. Now about that filling. I think it was Sunday night, the night that just didn't feel like pizza night the first time, when we made something that started out as rice pilaf and turned into green fried rice. It had way more fresh herbs from the garden than we planned, but really, really good. So I filled my pita pockets with leftover green fried rice, and it was heavenly. Let's see what you've done to avoid a potential baking disaster with or without leftovers. I'd love to hear what you're stirring up. Drop me a note, message me on Facebook or Instagram, and please send pictures. That's all for today. More next time. Take care, eat well, and be well.